Well, we're back, and I want to start this section by reading a passage of scripture that I think will be helpful to think about as we talk, as we continue talking, just about what's going on and making sure our marriages last through this time of being quarantined in our homes. But this is what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, he's talking primarily to the church, but I think it's very, has appropriate applications for husbands and wives and marriages as well. A lot of times these are verses that you might see during a wedding, but this is 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 4. He writes, "Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." And so, as we were talking during the break there, you know, one of the things that we need to do, especially as perhaps, you know, your husband or your spouse just kind of gets on your nerves as after, you know, after you've been in the house for so long. What you need to do is you need to assume the best.
Yeah.
Right. And so that, you know, that's why I read those, because it says love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things and endures all things. So assuming the best about your spouse is extremely important, right?
It is so foundational. If Michael comes to me and he may be a little sassy, I am not going to assume the worst, or he may say something and I'm going to assume he is saying it with the best of intentions for me. You know, you always see those couples where someone will come into the room and just say, "So what's for dinner?" And the wife just snaps and you're going, "But there wasn't anything mean intended by it. You assumed the worst, or you attributed motives to your spouse that weren't there." And that just causes conflict and problems. And so one of the things that we were advised early on and really took to heart is just, I'm going to believe the absolute best in my spouse. A lot of times as we do marriage counseling, you'll have husbands that will say, "She doesn't respect me." And a wife going, "He is unloving to me." And one of the things that I really just think is an issue is men and women communicate differently. We are so different from each other. And so how women talk to each other and how we think is, you know, just normal communication. Sometimes men will take that as very disrespectful. But we don't understand that because that we're not, the Lord didn't make us that way. And then there's things that a husband will say and the wife is going, "Oh, that was so unloving." And he's going, "What do you mean that was unloving?" And so when you're communicating, I never assume that Michael is being unloving in his communication to me, because I know that he loves me and I choose to believe that what he is saying is said in love and in graciousness. And Michael has never once said, "Hun, that was disrespectful," because he knows that I love him and I respect him, and he chooses to believe, even if maybe it was disrespectful, that I was not intending to be disrespectful to him, but that I love him and I respect him. And so as you both choose to believe the best in your spouse, that has eliminated so many arguments and hurt feelings and stress. And sometimes you have to talk to yourself. You know, sometimes I might have my feelings hurt and it's like, you know what? I need to have a reality check and talk to myself and calm myself down, because I know at the end of the day, my husband loves me. He cares for me. He wants the best for me. He is not intentionally saying something to be hurtful.
And there's a lot that's undergirding that. I mean, a lot of it is what we read at the very beginning from Philippians 2, of thinking about the other person as more important than yourself and regarding their interests above your own, because, you know, there it's coming at it with already the assumption that, well, I'm going to put the other person above myself, or, you know, above my interests. And so you are doing those things to try and show that, you know, you love them, you care for them. And so, you know, when you do something in light of that, that the other person perceives as, well, that was hurtful, you know, it wasn't intentional.
Yeah.
Because there's already been the, you know, this is where each spouse has to commit themselves, you know, not only in their own hearts, but before God, that, you know, this is the person God has brought to them, and they're going to love and honor the commitments that they have made to them. And so, yeah, assuming the best is so important, because if you're at home for so long, you know, we don't know how long this is going to be, but the friction always comes about at some point. You know, there's always something that at least somebody can take the wrong way, and then it gets blown up out of proportion. And so if you assume the best, then, you know, those problems are either just disappear, or they're lessened a lot.
I feel like most of our problems disappear because we always assume the best of each other, and it can be turned into something playful. And so half of our arguments turn into like a joke and playing, and they're very rarely a serious issue that we have to sit down and work through. I mean, we've been married 11 years, and I can think of maybe 2 or 3 times where we really just didn't see eye to eye on something. But 98% of the time, there's a way to compromise, to see the other person's point of view. It can be made into something fun. There's joy, you know, it doesn't have to be a knockout, drag-out fight every time that we disagree with each other.
Yeah, assuming the best, it's so important. But we're going to go to our next song, which is by Chris Tomlin, and it's called How Great Is Our God.
Sujudlah padanya, nas Bog. Beginning and the end. 生命只为他全地都看见，如生只为他。
All right, as we come to near the end of our show, I'd like to read one more passage from Ephesians chapter 4. And this says, beginning in verse 26, "Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity." And those last few words there, "do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity," are so important as well. If something does happen, you don't want to kind of bury it under, you know, put it under the carpet and just let it be, because then it will fester and, you know, the next day it will blow up even worse. And
it builds up and bitterness and frustration grow. And then, like it said, it gives a foothold for Satan. He can wreak so much havoc in our life when we hold on to our anger and frustration with each other. And this is something that we see, or that keeps coming up as we do marriage counseling. And, you know, even this past week, someone asked Michael, you know, "My wife is doing something and it just causes a strain on our marriage." And as I sat and thought about that, it was like, why is her personality this causing a strain on your marriage? And it was, you know, realizing that you're holding on to it. You're dwelling on it. You're thinking about the negative and what she has done to you. Instead of being quick to forgive and quick to forget, we have to forget. We can't hold on to the things that our spouse has done against us. Because it builds, and it builds this huge wall that then all of a sudden there's all this space between us. And the intimacy and the closeness of our marriage is gone. And so we need to quickly go to our spouse and ask for forgiveness. I don't know if you remember this, when we were engaged, we were staying at my aunt's house, and my aunt would have me on the top floor. So I was on the second floor. There was a floor between us, and then she would put Michael in the basement, and I had to sleep with like a cousin. So there was no getting to each other. And I had to like creep past her room. But I had done something that day. I either had been really cheeky or really snotty to you. And it was just wearing on me, and I couldn't sleep. And I snuck to the basement and woke you up to apologize, and then confessed in the morning. Auntie, I had to run down and apologize. Because we don't want those things to build up in our marriages. So if there's something where you're like, this is causing a strain on our marriage, you know, take a moment to think, is this a personality issue? Am I holding on to something that they are doing? I mean, it could be that they're like overspending. Like it could be something major that's going on. You know, that has to be addressed. And I can see where that would cause a strain on a marriage.
But even if there's issues like that, I mean, I think the principle here behind, you know, these verses that we read, "Do not let the sun go down on your anger," is okay, you can come at those problems in such a way where you're addressing your own heart, mm-hmm. and say, okay, you know, this is going to take some time to work through. Yes. Let's go to sleep and we'll work on it tomorrow. But you're not going to sleep frustrated and angry with the other person. You're recognizing, all right, we're going to continue to work on this. It's just, it's late and we need to go to bed.
And sometimes the later it is, the more you're tired and the more difficult it is. You know, if you can say, especially husbands, as you're leading in the relationship, if you can go to your wife and say, honey, I love you. I want you to know that I love you and I'm not angry. Let's go to bed and let's get some rest. And in the morning, we're going to get up and tackle this when we're much in a much better headspace. You know, that is okay. The issue doesn't have to be resolved that night, but the Lord is saying your anger needs to be resolved tonight. Mm-hmm. The heart is the immediate issue.
Yeah. So as you are spending your time indoors or in your house, at least maybe around your area, quarantined, we know that this can be a stressful time for couples, especially if you haven't spent this much time every day, all day with each other. And so we just encourage you to communicate, make sure that you know what each other's doing, what the expectations are for each day, but also set aside time, if not each day, but at least maybe every couple days or so, at least once a week, for that intentional, purposeful,
spend time together.
Yeah, meaningful time of spending time together so that your marriage can grow and become better. And always assume the best in your spouse. You know, if they do something that you're not accustomed to doing because they're usually not home or whatever it is, assume the best. Assume the best in your spouse, that they are there. They're trying to help you. They're trying to be a part of your life. And as always, be quick to forgive and to forget and not to dwell on those things that can fester and become bigger issues than perhaps what they already are. We need to be quick to forgive and then to forget that and to just keep going in our marriages.
I think a big thing, you know, if you find yourself in a place where you're like, oh, that sounds great, we need to do this, you know, to really hunker down in Philippians and really own the book of Philippians and internalize it, and pray that the Lord would change your heart towards your spouse to draw you close together. I love further on in Philippians 2, where the Lord says he will give us the will and the desire to do what pleases him. And so sometimes I just have to pray for that, to even have the desire to do what he has called me to do. Sometimes I don't feel it.
Well, that takes us to the end of our show today. I want to thank you all for listening. And Lord willing, hopefully we can have another new show coming for you next week. We'll have to see how that goes, whether or not we're in the studio. But I just want to say thank you for listening.
It was lovely being with you all.
And we're going to end on a song by Sovereign Grace Music called Oh, the Deep, Deep Love.
Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me, underneath me, all around me is the current of your love, leading onward, leading homeward to your glorious rest above. All the deep, deep love, all I need and trust is the deep, deep love of Jesus. All the deep, deep love of Jesus spread his praise from shore to shore, how he came to pay our ransom through the saving cross he bore, how he watches o'er his loved ones, those he died to make his own, how for them the throne. us, far surpassing all the rest. It's an ocean full of blessing in the midst of every test. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, mighty Savior, precious friend, you will bring.